never falters. In fact, God's goodness is so good, it endures everything that we experience in life. We need to remember that in the world in which we live, in every circumstance, that God is good, right? Because we live in a sinful, broken world. And sometimes it's hard to see goodness in some of the experiences we have. But even more, not only is God good, but God has faith in us to follow his goodness, to see his goodness, to grab hold of it and move forward according to his will and purpose for us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to get there. So before I get into the text today, I want to talk a little bit about Pastor Scott. This is the moment he's been fearing for like months now. It's made me really excited. This is the Reverend Dr. Scott M. Ness. Pastor Scott to you. Scott, my dearest brother in Christ to me. I wouldn't want him as my real brother because I'm certain he'd rat me out to mom way too often. But seriously, his friendship is one of my greatest treasures. I've known Scott for more than a decade, which is hard to believe since we're both so young. We met when we were serving the larger church together on something called candidacy, which is the process of forming future pastors. We quickly discovered that we shared a mutual passion for forming future leaders. Scott and I have had different paths that have led us to the same place, which is a great reminder of how God works through each of our lives, to bring us to the right place, to find the right friendships. And so as we started to get to know one another, I learned a lot about Scott. He was completing his doctoral studies, and I was just beginning mine. And it was through one of those first conversations that Scott heard in me a longing to find a place to study that complemented me better than where I was, which I thought was really fascinating as I think back to that first conversation. You know, he's a really good listener. Have you ever noticed that? He has a way of listening that gets you to hear better. That's a God-given talent. During that time, Scott and Deanna were increasing their family for the first time. Well, I suppose every time you increased your family. But you were beginning the journey of adoption. Scott had so much love, so much deep, incredible love for what his family might look like. And that was before the family continued to grow. And I thought that was so amazing to see anticipation, love and anticipation. Because a lot of times when we anticipate the unknown, love is not the first feeling we have. But Scott loved Deanna and was excited for those who would become his kids. And back then, it was so awesome to listen to Scott wrestle and wonder and imagine. You ever notice how good he is at imagination? I mean that in a positive, by the way. He has a way of living into excitement. He finds a way to get you to step out, to be bigger, to be bolder than you might think you can be. You ever notice how he does that? So often in our friendship, we have found ourselves on parallels. Maybe not at the same time, but often familiar situations to one another. We've both had challenging calls. We've both imagined where God was leading us. We've both been frustrated by the church. We both have had the occasional congregational hurt. Probably not most of you guys, but you know what I'm saying. We've all grieved loss in ministry. Scott and I together have experienced incredible love, incredible hardship, incredible joy. And in so many ways, I think we have kept each other in our friendship moving forward in ministry. For me, it's been a gift. I think for both of us, there have been occasions when we have flirted with the idea of walking away. But truth be told, I don't think Pastor Scott could ever do it. He has an incredible pastoral heart, and he is who God has created him to be. Amen?
Amen.
Scott gets discipleship better than anyone I know. Scott gets it because he lives it. He doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't just write about it. He gets discipleship because he lives it. He gets what Jesus is doing. When Jesus brings this hodgepodge group of followers together and says, show the world what it means to be my disciples by loving one another. He's written beautifully. Stories that open up the language of following Jesus. But even more beautifully is how he examples it in his life. And I think you know what I mean, right? Because he gets you to be better disciples too, right? He challenges you to follow Jesus in a more profound way than maybe you did before. As a pastor, friend, colleague, he challenges me. He shows care, laughter, tears. We share prayers that seem to have no beginning or end, and that's not just because some of his prayers are a little too long. Oh. Oh, Lord, it's good to be here. But we share these prayers that have no beginning and end because of his incredible faith. With all of that, one of my greatest blessings in my friendship with Scott is that he has helped me to see Christ in me in a bigger and more profound way than I ever did on my own. He has helped me to see Christ in me more beautifully than I could have done for myself. He has helped me to see Christ in me in a way that gets me excited for what God's doing, that gets me to step out more boldly and profess a little bit more profoundly. He gets you to see Christ in you, right? You feel that? Yeah, he's good at speaking and writing and praying and sitting and laughing and just connecting with you in a way that helps you to see Christ in you. He helps you to see Christ at work in you, Christ alive in you. Christ nudging you, pushing you. You know what I mean? But you should know this as well. You help him to see Christ in him. You may not realize it, but in all of our conversations, I have seen a shift in Scott the last few years. You have helped him to be bolder, to love more deeply, and to continue to grow as your pastor. That's pretty beautiful. Did you know that? And really, that's how it's supposed to be. This relationship of pastor and congregation is supposed to be mutually, beneficially beautiful. It may be one of the greatest gifts that God gives us that we kind of take for granted. God uses those around us to help us see the word alive within us. If sin is our kryptonite, like Meredith so well said, we as a community are what combats it. Because God calls us, raises us up as leaders, helps us to grow a bit deeper and follow a bit bolder. And in a Christ-centered community, we do crazy things, like forgive one another, maybe a little bit more freely. And maybe we love just a little bit more fully. So today, we aren't going to focus on Scott. Although I could tell you some stories. We'll save that for later. We're going to focus on the one who created Scott and each of us. We're going to focus on the one who invites us to lay our sins before him and to ground a life in him. Now, we have a selection of these amazing passages in our pericope, and there's just two that I want to focus on for us today. I asked Pastor Scott, what is your favorite verse? And without hesitation, he recited Joshua 1:9. This is one of the first verses you will learn if you go to Bible camp or Sunday school or VBS, right? I call it the superhero verse. So it's no wonder that it's one of his favorite. Joshua is God's next leader for his people. Before they reach the land yet promised, Joshua is called up to follow Moses. Now Moses has died, and God says to Joshua, you are going to be my next Moses. Talk about transitional leadership. But here's what's really important in this text. God isn't calling Joshua to be like Moses. God is calling Joshua to duplicate the faith of Moses. He's not calling Joshua to duplicate the life of Moses, the programs Moses has done. There's no retreading on the past. God is calling Joshua to continue in the faith that grounded Moses, that grounded Moses in who God created them to be. The promises made are the promises kept, and the fullness of God's Spirit given is continued as they move forward. Eugene Peterson translates the message on this portion of the text. This is how he writes it. He says, "In the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. I won't leave you. Strength and courage. You're going to lead these people to inherit the land that I promised. Give them everything you have, heart and soul." Give them everything you have, heart and soul. That's what God intended in God's leadership for God's church. Heart and soul. See, it's not easy for us to embrace change, is it? How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? No one knows. Lutherans don't like change. How many of you like change in your life? How many of you like to embrace when things are moving in a direction you're not really fond of, or unsure of, or least expect? Maybe God switches things up so we don't get too comfortable. Maybe God allows change to happen so our focus stays where it belongs, on Him. I love that Pastor Scott loves this verse, because it's not only a good word of encouragement for him and for all pastors, but it's a good word of encouragement for you. God is calling you, Prince of Peace, to be strong, to be courageous, and to be bold as you continue to move forward according to God's purpose for you. God has called up another leader. He's different than the previous, but his faith is familiar. Now, if you continue in the story of Joshua, some things are going to go really, really well and some things not so much. The stories of ministry, right? But God's encouragement is going to be steadfast. If you flip ahead a little bit, chapter 5, the people are going to wonder if this is the right guy. Have any of you wondered in the last 5 chapters of Prince of Peace if this is the right guy? You're not supposed to answer that. Anyone give it a second thought if this is really God's plan? Maybe just for a moment, a little doubt crept in your mind. It's okay. It's okay to say it, because that's our human brokenness. It sometimes leaves us doubting, questioning, wondering, but not to worry. God will use that. There's a moment in the story of Joshua in chapter 5 when God commands Joshua to recommit the Israelites. The old generations have passed away. The unfaithful have left one way or another. And this new people, this new community needed to dedicate themselves to the one with whom they follow, not Joshua, the Almighty. The Almighty who brought them out of slavery into freedom. Now, the people did as God told them to do. God blessed the land, and we read that even grain started to grow. After 40 years of having the bread from heaven fall, now they actually had grain growing and building roots, and so things got really familiar really fast. And they saw God's fullness. Have you seen God's fullness start to grow in the last 5 years? Grow in places that it hadn't grown. Maybe build roots in places that needed to have new root systems. And right when things got really familiar, Joshua finds himself with the soldier standing before him. And the soldier, and Joshua says, "Whose side are you on, ours or the enemy's?" And here is what the soldier says. He says, "Neither. I am a commander of God's army." See, the story of Joshua reminds us that God raises up leaders for us to follow, but we do not turn to the leader. We keep our eyes on the Almighty. And the Almighty is in the leader. See, that's God's charge. It's how we know God's will among us. You, Prince of Peace, keep your eyes on the Almighty. Pastor Scott will follow his charge. Being a church isn't like anything else in this world. There's no popular vote. There are no teams. There's no self-identifying categories. Can you tell I live in Oregon? You can't follow only when you agree. Being a church is walking together, holding faith firm in the one who leads us. Maybe it's worth us asking ourselves from time to time, whose side am I on? God keeps it simple for us, which leads me to our gospel text. We are reminded that God sent his own son into the world out of great and incredible love for this world. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order to save the world through him. God loves you. Don't ever forget that. In the same way that God called Joshua to be the leader God had made him to be, Christ came into the world to be the Savior we desperately needed. God teaches us what it means to have active love through Jesus Christ, a love that compels us to act on it. Today's gospel text is Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. He's preached a different way of faith. He's preached a different understanding of God's presence. Jesus is giving them a new identity in him, one that calls them to stand out in the world, to be salt and to be light. That last part, the light part, is so important, we use it in our baptismal rite. Every person baptized at the font hears those words, "Let your light so shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." How you live out your God-given light, how you live into the love of your God-given light, how you serve through your God-given light, how you be a community of light, gives glory to your Father in heaven. As Jesus stands before the people, he knows two things about them. He knows that they need him, and they need each other. Do you know that? Do you know these two in your life? Maybe the first part is easy, right? Most of you have all been here before, right? So you know you need Jesus. In faith, sometimes we think we can handle the small things on our own. Sometimes we think we can help God. But at the end of the day, we all know we need Jesus. Amen? Amen. But sometimes we forget that we also need one another. Sometimes we forget or we take it for granted the power of community. See, God knew we needed each other. The moment he started playing in the dirt and forming mud people, God breathed companionship into his community. Throughout the biblical narrative, God kept gathering his people over and over again to show them how much they needed each other. And now Jesus on this mountainside teaches the people again. But this time, this community is grounded in his own body and blood. That's what we gather in today as well. We gather as a community grounded in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We need each other for those moments in life when life gets dark. Right? We need each other for when it gets dark in this world and in our experience of faith. We need to see the Christ light shining through. We need God to help us see the Christ light in one another. Pastor Scott, you're teaching that in this place. You are teaching and listening and encouraging and bringing excitement to what God is doing. But most importantly, you are helping each of these people see the light of Christ in themselves. And you're doing that most by shining Christ's light for them. Let me show you how that works. I'm going to need you to be an illustration for me. Could you stand at the middle here? Miss Paula is going to be my assistant. She's such a great assistant. We talked about this, right? This is our baptismal rite. This is how ministry works. Pastor Scott, I'm going to have you take this candle. Ooh, Miss Paula, that candle? We've had issues with those candles, haven't we? That, I think that's a better alternative. So, Pastor Scott, I want you to look at your people that you have been called to serve, and I want you to say this: let my light so shine before others.
Let my light so shine before.
When we shine our light for one another, we start to see the light of Christ in each other. This is what's worth celebrating. Look at this community. There are times when you make it easy, and there are times when you are a challenge. But the light of Christ shines brightly in this place and through each of you. It shines in the amazing staff that blesses this church, the staff that loves this church boldly. It shines in the music and the worship team. It shines in one another, greeting each other and loving each other. It shines through this pastor who humbly and lovingly serves here because God has called him here. Because this is where Scott can do God's best work. Keep your eyes on the Almighty. Keep challenging one another. Keep loving each other. Keep seeing Christ in one another. And may God bless you in the next 5 years to come. Amen.
Amen.